Frequently in HDP, X-rays are used to generate impulse materials. In 2019, our Livermore co-authors conducted a series of experiments on the NIF. These experiments involved an array of material samples held in a sample fixture irradiated by X-ray emission sources. These sources are equidistant in the line of sight of all the samples in the array held by the target positioner and are illuminated by the NIF beams. X-rays are released in an emission spectrum characteristic of the source material and generate impulse in each sample as they're absorbed. PDI measures the displacement of the rear of the sample, and time-integrated spectra are measured from the different emission sources. These NIF results allow us to validate simulations, allowing us to confidently study the relationship between the source spectrum and overall fluids in the impulse-generated materials. The numerical method we employ uses the mercury and aries codes together. The mercury Monte Carlo code is used to simulate X-ray energy deposited from the emission source into the material samples. This figure shows the spectrum of xenon emissions during one of the experiments, and the right plot is the photon energy deposition computed from mercury within a Ti-64 sample. We use the Aries code to simulate the hydrodynamics resulting from these energy deposition profiles, which are read in as initial conditions for the Aries runs. Figure 3 shows momentum and pressure profiles in the Ti-64 sample at various times during the initial passage of a compression wave through the sample. To validate our method, we compare the displacement and velocity of Lagrangian tracer particles in Aries simulations to the PDI data from the 2019 NIF experiments for three different emission sources. The material is Ti-64 tamped with acrylic. Figure 4 shows these results. The simulated displacement agrees well with PDI data, particularly during the first passage of the compression wave, which is the first feature on the plots. This indicates that the magnitude and shape of the simulated compression wave agrees with the experiments to a high level of fidelity. Now we examine the impulse fluence scaling by merely scaling the spectrum to different fluences in our simulations using the same three sources and the tamped Ti-64 sample again. We compare the resulting curves to fits to a theoretical high fluence scaling result that a variety of different analytical models have in common in figure 5. We note that the shape of the fluence impulse curves varies significantly between the three sources, implying that the scaling depends on the spectral distribution of the source rather than simply the overall fluence, and the different bands of frequencies in the source spectrum have a greater impact on the sample impulse. The theoretical scaling used here assumes a single absorption value and does not account for spectral dependence of the source or the absorption. For a material with a constant uniform opacity, we can write a change in impulse, dj, as a function of changes in intensity of each bin of the source spectrum, the dis, to first order. The bin's source spectrum is doodled here. The dis are multiplied by derivatives of j with respect to each I, controlling how each di affects the impulse. We call the values of these derivatives the impulse spectrum sensitivity of the bin. To estimate the value of these derivatives, we perturb each bin independently, as shown to the right in figure 6, and approximate the derivatives using forward finite differences. Determining these values will help us understand impulse fluence scaling and forming which spectral bands most influence the scaling. We find that the impulse spectrum sensitivity is dominated by features in the absorption spectrum. Figure 7 shows convergence results for impulse spectrum sensitivity in the xenon Ti-64 case. The jump in sensitivity at around 5 keV corresponds to the K edge in titanium. As seen in figure 7, we achieve convergence as the value of delta I is decreased.